Welcome to In the Chains, a UK-based disc golf podcast bringing you worldwide disc golf news, what's happening in the UK scene, as well as our own progression. So buckle up and let's get started. Introducing to you your favorite podcast presenters, Bowen and Duffy. Here we go.
Here we go.
Welcome back, everybody, to a brand new episode of In the Chains. And we've got a bit of a special show tonight. Obviously, you've probably seen the news on social media that there's a new arrival to the podcasting team, Silas. So congratulations, Josh. This is the first show since the birth of the little one.
Congratulations.
But for obvious reasons, Josh is going to sit out just for a few weeks. He is obviously going to come back and be part of the show. So, but rightly, he wants to spend time with his little one, and that's cool. So, what we thought is we would try and highlight some of the team players. So we thought if we have a guest host on from the team each week, and we thought that'd be a pretty cool way to get to know the team in the Chains and go from there. So we have, as usual, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say, Tom Bowen.
Hello.
Hello. And this week we have Sammy. Now I'm going to have a go. We've had a go at butchering it in the past. Havaluatu.
Well, hello.
how did I get on with that?
Not too bad. It was close.
Better than Bowen's previous attempts.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm not having this. You missed a trick anyway, because you could have introduced Josh and it'd be Sammy instead.
But that would have made any sense to anybody, would it?
Well, it might have. People might think, what's happened to Josh? Why has he changed his voice?
Yeah, that's the type of comedy they come to expect of us, I suppose.
To be fair, the Finnish and the Americans sound exactly the same anyway.
Exactly
don't they?
The same. It's almost, they're similar countries, aren't they?
They're all bloody foreigners, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm only joking. I'm not xenophobic.
For those who, we're off to a good start anyway. For those who don't know, Sammy is Finnish, and you've lived in England now for how long, Sammy?
Over 13 years.
13 years. So his English is pretty good. You barely know he's born in a different country, but. We're going to sort of have a chat after about how long you've been playing disc golf and joining the team and all that sort of stuff after the news. What we normally do, and I know you listen to the show anyway, but what we normally do is we normally go through and talk about what we've been up to the last sort of week, but this is going to be the last 2 weeks because we didn't have a show last week. So, if I start with Bowen, as he's a regular, what have you been up to?
Not that. I don't think I've played since, like, did we play 2 weeks ago, did we, Duff? I don't think we did. Did we go Quarry Park on a Saturday?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly.
Maybe.
See, this is the thing. This seems to be a recurring theme now. That every time you come on, you go, not a lot, I haven't really played much. And then, but when you do play, you expect to get better.
I don't expect to get better. I know what level I can play at. And I don't perform in tournaments. I know I'm not going to get any better.
Or casual rounds.
Yeah. But I'm just busy. You know what it's like. It's hard, isn't it, Duff? I'm working. We're running a business. We're doing this. I've got a garden that needs completely renovating as per someone telling me it's got to be done.
Yeah, so. It's life, unfortunately. It's like trying to find the time to fit it all in.
Can't do it.
It does make it difficult. I've had a busy few weeks, obviously, with the shop, doing some stuff on the back end. I've been pretty busy with that. Obviously, we're going to cover in the news because we didn't cover it last week with no show, the Mendips tournament, which is like sort of like the first big tournament really of the UK, I think, this season. I went down and played on the Friday with a few people, but I wasn't able to play in the tournament because of Mrs. was at work, so I had to sort of stay at home and look after the kids.
That don't normally stop you.
It doesn't normally, but my mum and dad were also on holiday, so I couldn't part them off to them either. So I wasn't able to play in the tournament, but we did go down because I wanted to have a go playing the course because I'd never played it before. And it was, I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know if I'd have lasted the bloody whole weekend. It's so hilly. It's like playing on, like, well, this is a reference me and you would get, but it's like playing on Malvern Hills. It's like walking up Malvern Hills and playing and then walking back down for a hole and walking back up again for another one.
You wouldn't last with them little legs, would you?
Fat legs? I don't know about little. Yeah.
Was he any good, Sammy? Was he any good on the Friday?
Duffy was playing quite well, actually. I think he would have done well in the tournament, I think. Because yeah, I think Duffy's game is quite sensible, and I feel like Mendip really rewards kind of like sensible golf.
Yeah. But boring is another word for it.
Boring.
No, I do agree. I think, like, I'm less like you look at, like, people like other teammates, like Matt Lee, throws it a country mile and is likely to pick up birdies, but equally could get a bogey on the next hole. I feel that I'm not going to get birdies, but I'm less likely to pick up bogeys as well. So it's like...
Why are you slagging off the team members? Is it because he's better than you, or...
What? He's not here to defend himself, is he, either?
Oh, I suppose that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
wait till next week.
You should hear what we say about you, Sammy, when you're not here.
I'm always listening.
Yeah, not to the bit that we cut out, though. So did that, and then played in the tournament this weekend at Croydon, the first amateur tournament. We had a good weekend. Quite a good turnout for the team. We got a few people down there, and to be honest, it was a nice tournament. The weather was pretty decent compared to what it actually probably could have been in terms of rain and snow. We didn't really have much of that.
Croydon is always windy. Croydon is known for like extremely swirly wind, unpredictable wind, and it didn't really happen.
Hence Mistral and Cyclone.
Yeah, exactly. But it didn't really happen this time. It was almost like unnerving playing in calm conditions.
Yeah.
Sammy, I'm not interested in the tournament. I want you to tell me about Friday night and what happened with one of the fellow hosts.
We went to Meatlicker for some burgers and beers. And I don't know. I've always got the impression that Duffy would be kind of a person who could handle his drink.
Nah.
I don't know why I thought that. And well,
before that weekend, before that Friday, I probably hadn't had an actual beer or any type of alcohol for about 18 months.
Duffy, let Sammy finish.
That's true.
Let Sammy finish.
We had one beer to begin with, I think. And then Duffy had like this fancy cocktail. Like in a long flute, like a long champagne flute kind of thing.
St. Margaret Street Punch, it was called.
It was like Prosecco based, I don't know. Duffy had about half of that. And then we noticed that he's like holding his head in his hands, leaning forwards on the table.
I don't remember any of this, so I don't think it happened.
You had one beer and a small glass of Prosecco, and you're bladdered.
Yeah, what?
And he was muttering things to himself like, "I can't do this. I can't do this."
I was pretty pissed, to be fair. After not very much at all. Admittedly, it was pretty embarrassing. But then, to be fair, I seemed to go from like 0 to like 80%, and I was thinking, Jesus, I'm going to have a rough night here. Then I sort of drifted back down to 40 and stayed at that then. I was like tipsy, but I weren't too bad then. But to begin with, it did hit me a little bit.
Yeah, to be honest, I
just don't drink, so.
To be honest, we popped outside for smokes and left Duffy inside. And we were talking that Duffy won't make it through the night. And we already had plans that Dennis is going to go back to the hotel and take Duffy with him.
Oh, no, I wouldn't have done that.
but then, after those two initial drinks, it seemed like you kind of like stabilised a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was fun.
It was the initial shock of the alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what was interesting, Bo, when I had to get up and go to the toilet. That was an interesting walk.
Oh yeah,
through the restaurant.
We were really worried about leaving. We thought that once we get up and we leave the pub and go outside and you get some fresh air, you're gonna collapse or something.
But I mean, at the opposite end of the scale, I don't know whether people listening know Wardy, who's another one of our team members. The week before at Mendip's, he had two beers in the pub, and then when he got back to the campsite, he had a whole crate of beer to himself. I don't know, it's like 18 or 24 beers in this pack, and he just smashed them all.
So between the team, we balance ourselves
exactly.
Out.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. But I think it'd probably be another 18 months before I drink again. But we had a good night anyway.
What about in Scotland?
Hang on. Just a quick one. While we are giving stories of drinking, we'll go back a few years to a New Year's Eve party that I had around mine. Oh, his face is changing now all of a sudden, Sammy.
This is absolutely fine.
No.
But there's a difference here. Of course,
there would be a difference, wouldn't there? Because it's happened to you and not me. Yeah, no, that's fine. One of the hosts of the show, Sammy, was asleep on the back step of my house after being sick, and then crawled back in, and then when we went to bed, he was sleeping on the sofa and we had people sleeping on the floor on an air mattress, and he was trying to climb out the front window of my house to like urinate out the window thinking it was a toilet, and I had to like pull him back down from the windowsill and like try and get him back into bed. Any guesses to who that might have been?
Well, that doesn't sound like Josh, so...
No, that prat below with a bald head.
In my defence, I think I drank a whole bottle of Jägermeister in that time and half a bottle of vodka, and I don't binge drink anymore, but I was very drunk. I remember crying. I might well have cried as well in the kitchen.
Yeah, I think you was crying at one point.
Yeah,
and this shows you how much I drink. I've still got that half bottle of vodka that you haven't drunk in our kitchen still now. So
I've got a half bottle in my kitchen. I don't know when it's from.
Anyway, so yeah, we played the tournament. We had a good tournament. Obviously, we'll go through the results a little bit later. But yeah, we had a good time, Sammy. How about yourself? It's probably similar to mine, but...
Yeah, very similar. Played Mendip. We had the team round on Friday. Played Mendip. Didn't do particularly well. Yeah, I felt like... Last time I played that course was probably 3 years ago. So it felt almost like I had never played it before.
Yeah.
I kind of had an idea in my head, but a lot of the holes were quite different to how I remembered them. Also, my game and expectations have changed a lot since. Probably a bit of nerves being the first 2-day tournament as well. And lost lots of strokes on the putting green.
What division would you have been in when you played it last? Would it have been a tournament or just like casual?
No, just a casual round.
Oh, okay.
I heard as well that you had to have local knowledge of where the baskets were and what to do. It was quite crucial at that course.
I think I just had wrong kind of expectations. The course was very much like, if you can stay on par, you're doing really, really well. Basically, you didn't really have to get birdies. You just had to avoid blowing out because almost all of the greens are on slopes. So you get like mean rollaways. You hit a band, you have a band hit or cage hit, and you can roll and get two strokes immediately.
Yeah. It could roll. I'm probably like half the holes. I would say maybe like 100 feet. It wouldn't be unusual. Like
they were very,
it just roll away.
Very steep greens. And I think if you played there regularly, you kind of know what to expect. So you think, okay, I'll just lay up from... I lay up for a bogey from the edge of circle, and that's fine on this hole. Whereas I felt with this pressure, like, I can't bogey anything, I need to get birdies. And I just ran lots of like dangerous putts and got punished multiple times and didn't really take my medicine, didn't really learn from those mistakes. I just kept playing aggressive and kept getting punished.
Yeah.
Once you've lost a stroke, I don't know if you're like me, but you think you've got to sort of get the stroke back, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was in that mindset of like chasing and trying to make up for mistakes. And I would have, in hindsight, I would approach the tournament completely differently now.
Yeah.
But then played Croydon this weekend gone, and that was like a chance for me to redeem myself.
How did you get on?
I won my division, MA1.
Well done, Sam.
Which should have been the top division at the amateur tournament, but it turned out lack of players that they did put an MPO, a small MPO field in. But
we had some last minute dropouts, so had to fill those. I was kind of like, I don't know what was going on, but I feel like there was a lot of last minute dropouts and people who couldn't play the third day. The second day.
Well, I think I heard Phil say before the tournament had started that he'd had 15 dropouts over the last either week or 10 days or something. It seemed to be like one a day or something ridiculous. Like you said, even on the second day, I mean, we had a card of 5 on the second day and there's only 3 of us that went round. 2 had dropped out.
Oh.
So it was a bit unusual like that, but...
And then we had the fun team round on Friday again, this time for back tags. And
how did that go? Because I didn't hear anything about that.
I got the first tag like expected.
His head's getting bigger as we speak, but
exactly.
I got lead after the second hole, I think, and never let go. But there was quite a battle for the second spot, I think. And then in the end, we had playoffs for the last spot.
Do I automatically get the lowest one?
No. I've managed to acquire you because we got eight bag tags for the eight in the chains, guys and girls.
The UK ones.
Yeah, we have. We did 1-5 with the people that were there, and we played for them and around. Yeah. And then 6, 7, and 8 were just given out randomly, but I managed to acquire you the number 6 tag, so you're not directly at the bottom.
So I got the best of the rest.
So basically, you're only going to go down 2 by the end of the season, so it doesn't look as bad then.
Perks of being an owner, though, isn't it? You can swipe the top available spot for me, can't you?
I tell you what, it's pretty similar to. You know, when you're playing football at school or at the park or something, and you started losing, and you go, no, that's it. It's my bag tag. I'm going home. And it's that sort of thing. You've paid for the bag tags, so at the end of the day, you can choose what number you want, can't you? Make the rules.
It's our fucking money, Duff, isn't it? So if I want to turn around to Sammy and say, Sammy, I'm having number 1, you've got to give it to me.
That's
similar to when you go play a video game at someone's house and then you lose and you're like, well, it's your game anyway.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to win.
So you'd best speak like to us with some respect. Otherwise, I'll take that bag tag off and you'll be off the team.
He won't, Sammy. I wouldn't let him. Right.
I'll just kick you off the team.
So we've actually got through what we've been doing round without a conspiracy theory, which has been noted. People do actually, some people like them actually, the conspiracy theory, and then some people hate us going off topic. We're not going to go off topic this week, but I'm just merely making the observation that we have managed to get through a section of the show without a conspiracy theory. No, it's too late now.
No, it's not about conspiracy.
Oh, okay.
Have any of your petrol stations run out of fuel anywhere? Because
no.
I've had a nightmare today. I've been to 5 separate fuel stations on the way home, and then the one that I got at and filled up at was the only one out of 5. I went to use my phone to pay, and it declined it, so I had to wait around.
Someone told me about this, and I might be wrong. I might be wrong, but I think it was Pat Green said to me that he had this problem Saturday morning coming to Croydon.
It just couldn't find fuel anywhere. Something's going on.
There's war, maybe? A war?
It's not that. Apparently it's protesting. Not. It's got protesting, you. But I don't know. Something going on. Don't like it.
Well, maybe there's a conspiracy in it somewhere. Leave it at that. So, before we go into the news section, well, everybody's least favourite section, we'll just have a quick word from our sponsor.
Since 2011, Upper Park Disc Golf has focused on disc golf bags and accessories with unique styles, innovative designs, and unmatched comfort. They use cutting-edge design techniques and durable outdoor materials with a lifetime guarantee, so you can focus on what really matters, keeping it in the chains. Whether you're a Bowen or a seasoned pro, Upper Park has the bag to fit your needs. Go to upperparkdiscgolf.com today and save 10% with our code INTHECHAINS10. Now back to the show.
Okie doke. So, over to...
Bowen's Fake News. News. Fake News.
Right, first thing, big shout out to Dudley, the unsung hero of Quarry Park. He's been fishing discs out the Avon recently, and he's found one of mine. He collected 42 weeks ago, and he texted me to say he found one of my discs. He reckons he's collected 800 out the River Avon.
Jesus.
So I just wanted to say, and he told me he don't do it with a tank on. He does it like scuba diving style, like holds his breath. So, fair play to him.
Yeah. That's actually, just to add to that, I did see Dennis. Bloody hell, get the words out. I did see Derek put a post on, I think it was a Quarry Park Facebook group, saying that he's trying to raise a bit of money either for him or for a charity. I think. It was either for him for doing it or for his charity. So if anybody's had any discs out of there, it'd just be nice to, even if it's just a couple of quid, just to add to the pot, just say thank you for doing it, and just a bit of recognition, that'd be pretty good.
Do you think that in the future, in like 20 years' time or 30 years' time, people are like scuba diving in reverse, trying to find like old discs from several decades because they are so valuable and like collectible rares? It's like fossil hunting, but disc hunting.
Going in for a 2032 Firebird.
Yeah, exactly.
Sexton Junior Firebird.
Sammy, if I threw an expensive disc in the river, I would be getting it out, I promise you. I wouldn't let it stay in there.
Even if it was really deep, I know you would get it if it was on the edge and you had to go up to waist height, but I can't see you going in swimming.
I'm tempted to bring goggles with me now in my bag just in case I lose one that I really need, because I've lost about 3 gaiters in the Avon, and I love my gaiters and they're hard to come by. I mean, you picked me one up at the weekend, but they're so hard to come by. I'd be tempted to go diving for my gaiter if I lost my gaiter.
Yeah. It's interesting to think, will like normal stock discs of this day be valuable in, I don't know, 20, 30 years' time? Because, for example, some like Inua pre-flight number discs, just normal stock runs without the flight numbers, those are really valuable because people just like how certain run flew.
Yeah.
I think the bubble's got to... I understand that one, but like with collectible discs, like with special stamps on, the bubble's got to burst at some point, hasn't it?
Well, I think a better example than what Sammy just gave is the original FDs. They're just standard discs, but as soon as Discmania started going off and making their own, the Innova ones then become more valuable, and they were just bog standard sort of discs at the time, weren't they? So it is interesting how it would all play out. It'd be nice to have a crystal ball, wouldn't it, and just acquire a lot of stock.
There's like some Ken Climo runs that are 11x instead of 12x that are still like in play in rotation with some players. It'll be interesting to think if Macbeth still wins lots of world championships, and then in few years' time, there's like a 4-claw zone or 5-claw zone, and people are like, whoa, that was back in the day.
Yeah. The I was actually playing at Quarry, and it might even been Dudley that had fetched him out the river, but there was like about 7 or 8 discs that had been fetched out and left just in like a bucket in the little shed thing. The lad I was playing with, he likes his Innoverse stuff, Mark Biddell, as Bowen likes to call him. And he picked one up and he's like, that's an Avery Jenkins destroyer. He goes, that's worth quite a bit of money.
He's yeah, like, those are quite sought after.
And he was like, I'm not leaving that there. Somebody's going to have that. And so he was like, I'm going to... He phoned the... I think he was like... I don't know who it had been at the time. One of the Derek's helpers, and handed in the disc. Said like, you want to keep this in the shed because like somebody will have that. And it scrubbed up like pretty well. Really, it wasn't like it was all water damaged and like or just a bit naff. It actually looked like pretty decent nick. So it's like, yeah, it'd have been pretty valuable. So like, it does show there is some good stuff in there if you're. If you are prepared to get in with your snorkel and your goggles, Bowen.
I've lost a bloody Blurple Pig in there. Get Freaky Zone.
The Get Freaky Zone one was the best.
Oh, here we go.
That was my favourite, Sammy. I can't even remember what he was finishing on. You know the two holes in the woods? And then you've got the second one's a par 4 that leads back towards the river type thing. It's like a dog leg right. Can you picture it on the black course?
Dog leather right.
In the woods. The
second wooded hole.
The second wooded. Yeah.
It was down by the basket, and I don't know what had happened. I can't remember, but I just remember him picking up his zone and lobbing it as hard as he could, expecting to hit something, missed everything, and it just went straight into the middle of the aim.
I was aiming it to go in the river. And sort of hoping it would hit something, because I hit every tree when I don't mean to. And it just got a real clear path and just went straight in the middle of the Avon.
That was a funny moment. Let's move on. What we got?
I'm not going into... We'll start with abroad news, because we've got quite a bit of home news. I'm not going into the Texas States, because it was 2 weeks ago. Everyone knows who won by now. So yep. We had the Music City Open this weekend.
This year.
This year. Was it a Silver Series last year? Because it was Silver Series this year.
It was an NT, so National Tour last year. So there was a bit more prestige on it last year, and it was played over 2 courses last year. And because DGPT basically took over NT for this year.
Yeah.
They took some of the NT events and some of them made the DGPT to a silver series like Music City, and the less fortunate ones got dropped out completely.
Sammy, can we have you on the show all the time?
Are you available on Monday nights to do a news section?
Yeah.
Depends how much you pay.
Well, can you do like a thick Brummie accent?
No, I can't do any accents.
Oh, right, okay. Maybe forget
it. Cheeky bastard. He's already on the team. What more does he want? He wants pain. Right, so Chris Dickerson won the MPO with a score of 28 under. Adam James came second with a score of 25 under. And I'm sure you'll know who this is, Sally.
Lauri Lehtinen.
Lauri Lehtinen came third.
With 24 I shouldn't have helped under. You there.
Yeah, no, hang on a minute.
I regret that already.
Why did Sammy say the name perfectly and then Bowen still feel the need to say the name again wrongly? Why didn't you just go, yeah, and then just carry on?
I said it. Lauri Lehtinen.
Yeah, that's it.
How did you say it, Sammy?
Lauri Lehtinen.
I can't do that. That Sammy does.
That was the best European performance thus far. He came from the third card. He had absolutely insane last round. He shot 12 under, which was the hottest round of the tournament. I think probably close to 1090 rated. he had, I think he had 15 or 14 birdies and one double bogey to bring the score down.
Bloody hell. That's good going. Well, he, interesting fact, he's from Jyväskylä, Finland. Did I say that right?
Jyväskylä.
Oh, there we go, yeah.
Look at his little face.
I'll just see if we could get a bite, to be honest. But there we go.
That's the rally capital of Finland as well.
Is that anywhere near where you're from, Sammy?
Maybe like 3 or 4 hours drive. So
yes, for Finland. No, for if you live in the Britain.
Yeah.
No. Well, it's relatively close if you're in Finland, but
That's what I mean. But like, if you said something was 3-4 hours away here, you'd be like, nah, it's miles away. But if it's like a bigger country like Finland, you'd go, yeah, well, it's not too far away.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all relative.
It would be like, I would consider driving that in Finland, but I wouldn't consider driving that here for like a day trip for disc golf course.
Sammy, you wouldn't consider driving out 10 miles out of bloody London at the moment, would you? You got used to London life.
Well, it takes like an hour to get out of London, so yeah, it's annoying.
I bet you walk around with Jesus creepers on and bubble tea and that now, don't you, Sammy?
No bubble tea.
It didn't deny the Jesus creepers. So.
What are Jesus creepers? I have creepers.
They're like sandals. So like, I've I don't got know some what
them,
you so call them.
No, like, I have some actual creepers.
What are actual creepers?
I don't know if they're like from 70s. They're kind of like rock and roll style shoes with like, kind of like thick sole, but like
brogues, like more like two tone brogue type things.
What?
Not quite. No, they don't. I think they have no laces.
Okay.
Can you like just stop throwing out names of shoes? Because I don't have a clue what you lot are on about. Right. So FPO was won by Missy Gannon with a score of 6 under. Then we had Kat Mersch. I'm guessing I said that right, at 2 under.
Merch.
And then we have Merch.
Yeah, she's having a good season so far. I think she's going out with Nicola Castro, right?
You asked a question. Come on, Sally. He asked that with no hint of it being sarcastic or a joke or anything. Brilliant. I love it.
I don't know. There's no point asking me.
You say you don't know, Bowen.
No.
Okay. All right.
And then we had Macy Vela-Diaz came third at 1 under. So there we go. I was reading through, and in fourth place, I saw Dean Carey, but then I realised it's American, so it's Deanne Carey. Yeah. I thought they got it wrong.
Excellent. Right, but there we go. What a great joke that was. Can we have more of those, please, in the new section?
Right. I'm a hell of a lot funnier than you, who rambles on all the fucking time.
Go on, then.
Right, so I'm guessing we have to move to Mendip now, don't we?
Yeah, this is the one we can look forward to talking about, Bowen, with Sammy on the show. We don't want to talk about the one he wins at. Get his head any bigger.
Exactly. Don't worry.
He's tiny anyway.
One wrong move and you're off the team anyway, Sammy, so I won't worry. MPO was won by Jamie Matthews with Ben Holding in second and Jamie Rabbits in third. Open Women was won by Sue Underwood with Catherine Lee Williams in second. Pro Masters was won by Matthew Cutler, who organised the event, didn't he?
Yeah.
With Gaz Jones in second and Mark Fleetham in third. Advanced was won by Rafa Lopez Cancio, with Ben March in second and Michael Sharkey in third. And we had Sammy and Bella in the MA1 division. So, and then in amateur 40s, that was won by Wayne Davey with Adam Keane in second and Richard Hooper in third. I'm rattling through this because we've got a lot of results to go through. Amateur Masters 60 was MA60 was won by Kevin Allen Walker. Intermediate was won by Rob Deforge. I love that name. I'm guessing I'm saying it right.
I think so.
With Russell Mitchell in second and Robert Hurd in third. MA3 was won by Matt Lee, good old Matt Lee, in the chains. We're currently at 100% record, haven't we? We've had a winner in every tournament so far.
Every major tournament that we've sort of entered so far, we've had a win. So that's it can't last forever, but long may it continue.
No, Duffy, Sammy, it can last forever, and it will last forever.
Contractually,
yeah.
It's like Big Brother. It's like Big Brother. If we have an event where nobody wins, one person gets kicked off the team.
I like that. Did our Big Brother in Finland, did they, Sammy?
Yeah, they did. They did. I watched like first couple of seasons and then I got bored. I guess that's how it went here as well.
Yeah, exactly the same.
I used to dip in, so I'd miss a couple of years and I'd get really into it for a year, then I'd miss a couple of years and get really into it.
Yeah, I kind of got back into it after like several years later. But, yeah.
I think what they realised is people don't want to... It was a novelty to begin with, and then they realised people don't want to watch just normal people. They want to watch complete idiots in. Like Bowen, and put them in the house with other nutters, and... That supposedly makes good television, and everybody just thought, oh, they're just idiots.
But I feel like Big Brother was like the catalyst for
reality TV.
Major like shift in like celebrity culture.
Yeah,
it was like the start of reality TV, and I feel like reality TV then spawned like social media and the idea that, you know, normal people are somehow worthy of worship just for being themselves. I don't know.
I completely agree with worship and yeah, let's move on.
he always says about me waffling hard as well. Go on, carry on.
So Matt Lee won the event, so excellent. That was his second win of his second in 2 weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Steve Nolan came in second, and Edgar Dimpers came in third.
Just one thing to add about Matt's win. I think that Matt's rating now, well, as of this Tuesday coming, will be above 900. Praise the Lord. So
I don't think so.
Do you not think?
I looked at it, and I don't think so.
Don't tell him this, because I want him to bloody move up. I want to at least have some sort... basically, everybody who's better than me, which is quite a lot of them in MA3, to like just move up to MA2 and just open the path for somebody who's fairly mediocre to have a chance at winning. That's what I want, anyway. But that's selfish, so...
Yeah, so there we go. Wardy came in fourth and John came in fifth, so well done to them.
Excellent.
Toby Knight won novice with Darren Gisborne and Tom Oddy coming second and third. So now we move on to the Croydon Mistral, which I had the results up for, now I've lost. So there we go. Great fun. So, yeah. So, should I do MPO first or last? Because it wasn't meant to be there, was it?
Do it last. Out of protest, do it last.
And because we know who won as well.
Well, so. Actually, I was talking to Phil Wood, partway through one of the rounds.
The tournament director.
Yeah, and the second round, you know tournaments, you tend to have a mixed card the first round, and the second and the third card tend to be in card order within your division. Now, the PDGA scores, it automatically populates the card order list for you. And because MPO were in it, it automatically put them on the lead card of MPO on hole one. And Phil was like adamant to purposely move those because MA1 should have been the... Do you see what I mean? Should have been like the top division almost, or MA1, FA1 being the top division. I think I believe so.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Which I thought was quite nice. I mean, it's only a little thing, but
finally, the BDGA doing something right for once.
Oh, shut up.
Right. So we'll start off with MA1, which was won by who, Sammy?
I don't know. You tell me.
You've already asked him. You've already put him in a position once. Just read out the bloody names badly.
Sammy won and played a really good 3-under tournament. So well done.
Excellent. Well done, mate.
Patrick Green came second at 2 over, and James Cooney came third at 6 over. FA1 was won by Rachel Island Jones. M40s was won by Adam Keane, with Paul Waite in second and Rich Plumridge in third.
What? Just a quick one, Bowen. Like, I feel like I didn't actually know that he'd lost at Mendips the week before. But
who?
Adam Keane. But I said to somebody who said to Adam that it feels like they're going to start changing the name of MA40 down to the Adam Keane division. It seems like every time you read out MA40 result, his name's at the top.
When will he have to move to Pro 40s at any point, or is it different for Masters?
No, he doesn't have to move. It's kind of a similar situation to MA1 and MPO. So you can play as an amateur. There's no rating limit.
Oh, nice.
But there are other good MA40 players around the country.
Yeah, of course there is.
But it's just maybe a bit more regional. Like you're not going to have everyone at every tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'll never have to worry about being too high for MA1, let's put it that way, even if there was a limit, so it's fine. I won't have to worry about being too high for MA4 at this rate.
Well, it's good to be realistic.
I like that, Sammy, I like that. So, M50s was won by Jonathan Bone, with Jeremy Sinclair in second and Erko Usho in third. I think I've got that right. M60s was won by Kevin Allen Walker and Marek Nowak in second. MA2 was won by Mitch Froming, with Jakub Jarkowski in second and Luke Stanley in third. FA2 was won by Terry Pospisilova, with Claire Champanone in second. Why are you laughing? Well, I can see you. Why are you both laughing?
It's I was just thinking, it reminds me of every night when I put the little one to bed. We have a book from school, and she goes through and reads that, and she breaks the letters down, she breaks it down into syllables, and reads it like that, and it's like the cat sat, and it's just like that basically with you reading these out.
It seems to be that no one in disc golf has a normal name.
Wait
till you hear MA3. Easy. Tim Stevenson won, with Jack Smith in second and Cam Woodhouse in third, Matt Lee in fourth. How hard was that? If you want me to say, Cam Woodhouse and Matt Lee joint third, but did Cam win on a playoff or something?
No, he didn't go to a playoff,
So Cam and Matt drew. But if you want to know who came in fifth, it was Daniel Green Hall, I'm guessing. But it's got a GH in it, so I don't know. You'd know. What's his name, Duff? You played with him, I'm guessing.
Danny.
What's his last
name?
I
never call him by his surname, so...
Because you don't know how to pronounce it either, do you?
I feel like it's Greenhouse.
Greenhall.
I don't know. As much as I take the piss out of you for it, you do a fairly decent job at it, because I'm not very good with names either, so...
You came in sixth, Dennis came in eighth, and Sam and Wardy came in 13th. So, good. And then in FA3, Rhian Stevens won, so well done.
Oh, little story. I was actually sabotaged by my own teammate this weekend, but I haven't told you this yet. Somebody that I actually give a lift to as well. So not only was he a teammate, but I also give him a lift, and he sabotaged my whole tournament. I was told three holes out, oh, you've got four shots below you, so you'd definitely be in the finals. Oh, fine. Fairly tough holes for me. I plan to take a bogey on the one anyway, because it's a really hard hole on 9. 10, I missed my shot and took a 4. And then 11, I played up. I had a putt for par, and I thought, yeah, well, I've got 2 putts at it. It's not a dangerous green. I'll have a go. If I drop it in, I'm still in the finals. That's fine. So it hit the bottom band, dropped to the floor, put it in. I was like, I've made finals for my second time ever. And then they submitted the scores, and me and Danny, lo and behold, were on the same score, and we had to go to a playoff. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, he's going to beat me on the playoff. I know he is. And then I missed, it went to hole 1, which is like the tunnel shot. Not too long, but it's like quite a tightest tunnel.
Fairly easy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, as long as you get
should be,
out.
You should be getting 3 there.
Yeah, as long as you get out the tunnel, you definitely take a 3, basically. But I didn't get out the tunnel. I hit the trees in a really crap position. My second shot was like a 4-hand roller because I had nothing. And then Danny put one straight up the middle because he's really like consistent. He just doesn't miss like a line. He's dead good player, actually, Danny is. Put it out into the open, shot up, and then I managed to get out, and I had like one shot with the berg from about 70 feet, maybe. 50 to 70 feet, and I thought, well, I've got to run it, and I've had no chance.
I know you ain't going to do it with your op shots anyway, let's put it that way.
But I had no chance, but...
You didn't even need to tell me that you missed it.
So Matt Lee, I'm calling him out, he actually did sabotage my whole weekend, but that's what teammates are for, I suppose, isn't it?
And it doesn't really matter, because we still had a winner, and he's kept quiet. Tell us how you got on, Sammy.
It was all right. I started really badly. I started on the easiest hole, hole 8, and all I kept thinking was, birdie this, this is like the easiest hole, you need to birdie this. And usually I'm always in the circle, always have a look. And I think it was just tournament nerves, and I put too much power into the shot, and I went OB long, something that I never ever do on that hole. And I was raging inside. I was so angry with myself. Like, how did that happen? And went to the drop zone, hit some tree limbs, and got to, like, circle's edge, and it was obstructed. Kind of dangerous death putt going down towards the basket and OB behind it. And I was just raging inside and got the Anheuser putt in, just pure rage. And then it took me like probably half of the round to kind of calm down and get into the groove. But after that early hiccup, I feel like I was mentally quite steady, and I just played steady golf. I didn't make any big mistakes, had birdies here and there. I just steady.
Did you lead throughout the whole weekend?
So after the first round, I was tied for the lead. And then after the second round, I took the lead, solo lead, and then I kept it until the end.
And you kept it, you won by how many shots? Quite a few. Was it 6?
Five in the end. I went to the finals with 6-stroke lead. I had little mistake in the finals. I think nerves started getting in like the last kind of 4 holes. I had a little bit of nerves, but I didn't feel like... I felt like I was in control all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. When you got sort of 5 or so shots, you kind of think, Okay, I can lose a shot, and I'm still got four shots. You don't need to do anything that's silly. You don't have to try and make it up. You just play your game still, can't you?
Yeah, exactly. There's like a couple of holes there that have potential for like a double bogey. We played a lot of the there's like hole four. There can be trouble in it, and then 16 is probably the hardest hole. So when I had a clean drive on 16, that's when I kind of felt like there isn't really a chance that I'm going to get big numbers anymore.
No, you had a decent put on 16 as well, because I see that one. It was like edge of circle. And
yeah, I had to make a few edge of circle putts in the final round. But my putting was pretty good all weekend.
My question to you then, Sammy, because that's your local course, isn't it? So, I mean, you can't expect to win a tournament. But deep down, you got to be thinking, this is one that if I'm going to win, this is a chance, a good chance for me to win a tournament. So do you feel that there's more pressure on you going into that tournament than other tournaments?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't usually.
It's your home course, isn't it? So you're comfortable, aren't you?
You say that though, but I'm the opposite. If ever we play a tournament, Quarry Park. Leading up to it, I'm thinking, right, this is one that I could win. This is one that I could do really well at. I've got to do well at this. If I don't do well at this, I might as well not. Like, it's going to be difficult for me to do well at any other tournaments. And I add pressure to myself. And it's just interesting because I thought you'd say yes.
I think I've been able to avoid that pitfall. I'm always trying to go into the tournament thinking, I'm just going to do what I can. I'm trying to play the best I can, and then I'll see where I end up. I think in the past I put a bit more pressure on myself, and it's always harder to play with expectations.
Yeah. No, I do get that.
Well, you moved up this year anyway, didn't you, Sammy?
Technically, yeah. I would have played MA1 last year if it had been available. And I played MA1 in Scotland.
Well, you won MA1 in Scotland.
I think at the champs, around the champs, I was over the limit for MA2 in rating wise.
Yeah. So
I was able to play champs because there's a PDGA rule that if it's like a point series and you're only few rating points over your over the division limit,
you're allowed to play. I forgot, Duff, before we go anywhere. I forgot who won MPO.
Do we need to give the results?
Well, he's easily forgettable, isn't he? He's not here today.
He's easily replaceable, I would say, Bowen.
Yeah. He absolutely smashed it, didn't he? Yeah. 23 under.
Yeah, he played really well. I think his second round was 1040 rated.
Yeah, 1040 rated. Like, that's just crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a really good round.
So, congratulations.
Now, that's two in a row for him as well now.
Exactly. He's telling Blair, I'm playing every tournament now. That's what he's saying.
He's got to be demanding it, surely.
He'll carry Silas with him.
In a baby carrier.
Exactly. Just to play tournaments. So, well done to Josh and Pepe Espinosa. That's one name I could say easily. And Ed Green came second and third. So, excellent. Well done to them.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I'll finish off the news and then we can have a chat. We've got Arrow Valley had a tournament and wasn't a big one. It was at Arrow Valley, but there was a half decent turnout. And in M40 was won by Ray Donnelly with Martin Colbert and Dave Woodhead in second and third. M50 was won by super fan Shane Barron. So I think he's a groupie, isn't he, Duff?
He's an avid listener.
Yeah, he just loves me when he sees me. Like, it's getting quite kind of embarrassing now, I think, don't you, Duff?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think I think you have to say Super Stan now. Otherwise you sound like a boomer.
Super what?
Super Stan.
Why Super Stan?
You know, you stan something.
You what?
When you're a fan of something, you stan something.
Is he speaking in London lingo?
I think he's speaking... I don't know why he's... I don't know if he's...
It originates from the Eminem song, Stan, which is like an obsessive fan.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I've never ever heard that before.
Neither have I. I think that's a London thing. That's
a bit of, I think that might be a hipster thing. No,
Shoreditch. It's a Shoreditch thing, isn't it, Sam?
It's a boomer thing. I mean, fan is a boomer thing.
It's a type of thing somebody who owns a pair of creepers would say.
Yeah, exactly. Well done to Shane with Gordon Wright coming second and Paul Skidmore coming third. Then in MA2, we have Carl Heaton winning it with Mark Bidell in second and someone else in third who I've just lost. With Jamon Smith in third, or tied second actually with Mark Bidell, so well done to them. Then in MA3, we had Lee Goff in first and Matthew Wright in second. And then in Novice, if we're talking about people's heads that swell, this man has to be on the list. This is the man who holds the record for single person round at Arrow Valley, mainly because he makes the scores up himself. Adam Goddard won MA4.
That's a bold statement, Bowen.
I know. You know, he came out, he scored like a 20 under for a full 18 at Arrow Valley and then wondered why no one believed him. That's just a bit of context for Sammy. So
I actually played with him in Lichfield the first round. And when I saw my card, I saw like an MA4 player, but he didn't play like an MA4 player. He played really quite well, actually.
Yeah,
he's a sandbagger.
I think he's a pretty decent player. Whenever I've seen him play,
like really good upshots.
Yeah.
I tell you what, he started after me, and he's 10 times better than me. Anyway,
that's why the jealousy about the scorings coming in, Sammy.
I'm not the one that noticed it in our WhatsApp group. It's not me that noticed it. And then another sandbagger came second, Craig Gardner. So well done to him.
Everybody who wins a tournament, are they just automatically sandbaggers in your eyes?
Right. Adam's rating is lower than it should be. He's rated 804. Craig Gardner's rated 843. Tell me he belongs in MA4. Without that smirk that you've got now.
What else we got?
And then Steve Prentice came third. So well done to MA4. And then junior under 15, Brad Bourne won. And junior under 10s, Naren Woodhouse came first in that. So, and I got a name right this time.
That was a lot of names and a lot of results. So it's nice to see the season back in full swing. And there's tournaments everywhere, which is
They were just the winners, so it shows how many people were playing.
And what one tournament are we going to highlight this week?
We are highlighting the Great Western Tour Round 2 at Swindon, brought to you by Arrow Valley. And I'm pleased, brand spanking news, exclusive, that's the word I was looking for, I got it wrong then for a minute. In the Chains are the title sponsor for the first time at this event.
Yeah.
Aren't we, Duff?
Yeah, so. No, it's, I'm looking forward to it. It shows, like, I feel like a bit of affiliation with what they do over at Arrow Valley, because that's who runs the Great Western Tour, the same people who run the Arrow Valley tournaments. It's like almost like two separate touring sort of schedules, but they do a really good job, and they sort of come about at a similar sort of time as what we did, really. So it feels like we've sort of naturally grown at the same sort of pace, and they're doing really good things, and it's pleasing to be able to sort of give back a little bit and like you say, sponsor the our first tournament and it be with them. So that's quite fitting, really.
Yeah, so that's good. And we'll have a shop there. And there'll be lots of discs. We've got a hell of a lot coming in, haven't we, Doc?
Yeah, even if you choose not to buy anything, still come over, say hello, introduce yourselves. We have some sort of free refreshments and things like that, and bits and bobs. So,
I'm friendly. Duffy's miserable.
I'll pretend to be not miserable that day.
Okay.
At least for a couple of hours, anyway. So, that should be good. And that's on the 24th, I believe. Yeah, 24th of April.
24th. Yeah, Sunday, 24th.
So get signed up for that. The last one, which was Lichfield, had a really good turnout. It was like over 50 players. So, it was a really good event as well. So, it's like a bit of a novelty at the minute, but it's a one-day event as well, so you're not committing your whole weekend to it, which seems to be the the popular route at the minute. It's a one-day tournament, so like I say, you can come and go for the day. You don't need to stop over, and it just makes it a bit easier for people with commitments. So, so is that the news finished, I'm assuming?
Done.
Excellent. So, Sammy, we said we'd have a little chat. I tell you what we do with when we speak to sort of pros on the pro tour. We start with, do you want to tell us a little about yourself and how you've got to where you are now playing disc golf effectively?
Sure. It's kind of a long, fragmented story, to be honest. So I first came across disc golf at school, just during a normal PE class. I was probably like 15, 16, something like that.
Yeah.
And the baskets had appeared in our like a sports center area. No one really knew what they were. And I think our teacher had got someone to basically prepare him to talk about disc golf to us. And he was like giving us like the basic rules of the game. And we had a massive stack of Innova DX discs, I think made like Sharks and Rocks and Avias. And we did that for a couple of hours at school. And it was really cool. I had never heard of it. Got immediately interested in it. Started playing with my friends kind of like once a week or so. This was like when YouTube wasn't really even a thing. I think YouTube might have started back then, but there was like no instructional videos or anything available. So we didn't really know how to throw them. We were trying to do like the normal frisbee throw that you could imagine, kind of like winding around your body and just like spinning, basically.
We know that, don't we, Bowen?
I would still do it.
Weren't getting much distance, and I think we spotted some better players on the course, like a bit older people, and they were throwing forehands, and we were like, what is that? And I had been playing baseball and tennis previously, and as soon as I tried the forehand, it worked for me immediately, whereas like backhand wasn't really working. So I started throwing forehands, got a couple of discs from the local sports store. I was throwing forehands pretty far straight away, like way further than my friends. And my friends were throwing mainly backhands. And at that point, I thought forehand was like the superior throw. I was like, there's not even a reason to try to learn backhand forehand is where it is.
You're getting all the distance.
you get all the distance. Don't have to worry about backhand.
You're correct about that.
How would you know? You have never thrown a good forehand.
Come on, get out of town.
And at this time, I think the fastest disc was speed 9. I think Orc was like the big boy disc.
Innova Orc.
Yeah.
Throughout disc golf.
Yeah, throughout disc golf. And the only brands that there were basically Innova and Discraft.
Yeah.
And Discraft was very small compared to Innova.
Yeah.
And did that for a couple of summers. It was like super casual. Like the course was quite short. And it was kind of like, it was just a bit of fun with my friends, really. And then when our studying got a bit more serious, we kind of forgot about disc golf. And then when I was 19, I moved to the UK. And that was like disc golf wasn't really on my priority list at that point.
Yeah.
I was doing lots of other stuff. And then I went back home. It must have been like several years later when I went back home. My brothers had started playing. And disc golf had like exploded in Finland. It was everywhere. There were courses everywhere. My brothers were playing. They were really good. They were telling me that there's like a professional scene and you can watch stuff on YouTube. And I was like, oh, I always thought this sport was really cool. And now it's actually like becoming something.
Yeah.
And then I Googled if there were any courses in the UK. I found that there was one in Croydon, but I didn't really have anyone to play with. But I ordered some discs online and I played on my own maybe like 5 times a year just to kind of like have a go at it. But I started watching disc golf more than playing. I was following like Ricky and Paul and yeah, I kind of like kept in touch with disc golf, but I wasn't playing as much. Then a couple of years later, a couple of my work colleagues from Sweden, I introduced them to disc golf and they got hooked immediately. They had like sports background as well. So we started playing kind of a couple of times a month, still quite casual. Yeah. And then about a year later, I met my boyfriend, John, and I got him hooked. And that was when I had someone to play with regularly.
Yeah.
I always wanted to play more, but I didn't have anyone to play with really. So when I met John, we started playing on a more weekly basis. And then it's been like last 3 years, I've started kind of like taking it a bit more seriously. And I realized that I actually have to start throwing backhand. So I've been throwing, backhand for about three years now. And it was really hard to learn backhand after like learning such bad habits from basically trying to wing it and learn it yourself to begin with. And when I've been learning backhand, I kind of forgot about forehand and I feel like my forehand got worse. And I'm now kind of rediscovering my forehand after learning backhand.
Yeah.
Well, we first met you in Manchester, didn't we? So like last year, was that you getting around the country and playing more and doing more?
That was, we were driving to Scotland. Well, we were just coming back from Scotland and we thought we would break the journey up by stopping somewhere. So we just stopped to play disc golf in Manchester. That was like after lockdown, I think.
Just after it must have been.
I had a bit of a break during lockdown from disc golf.
Which is funny because literally that's when like so many people started playing.
Yeah, I kind of felt jealous about that because our local club basically requested that we wouldn't play there.
Yeah.
Just to kind of
keep.
I think the rules were a little bit ambiguous whether disc golf was allowed or not.
Yeah.
But our club explicitly stated that they would like people not to play just to give like the right impression to the general public.
That time.
I'm going to be honest here now. The BDGA said that we shouldn't be playing. I just ignored that and went down the park and played. Like, it's far enough gone. Oh, okay. Duffy's saying cut.
I remember the BDGA putting stuff out. I think the ambiguity. Ambiguity, that's right, come from golf courses not being able to open, but obviously didn't specifically say disc golf, whereas you're not necessarily touching, with golf, you're touching the flag and you're touching other things.
Yeah, but then it translates differently to the general public because lots of people are pissed off not being able to go to gyms, not being able to do what they would normally do.
Yeah.
And when they see other people still going on about their lives, doing normal things that can be seen social, I understand how it can come across problematic.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So anyway, we respected those wishes and we didn't really play during lockdown and kind of regressed a little bit. So when I met you guys, that was when we were like trying to get back into the groove.
I mean, the first thing I can remember when we played around, I think we both got there at pretty much the same time. And I remember the first thing that I remember seeing you do was like a step put. From
banging it
from like about 40 feet away, and it's like going nose up, but not just nose up and like just fading out or stalling out. It goes nose up and it's just like a laser beam at the basket. And it just defies logic how it could continue to propel forward. I just don't understand, and I still don't understand it now. But that's like the main thing I remember when we first played. But no.
Yeah, I think I was putting especially hard back then. I feel like now I have a bit more touch. I feel like now it's a bit softer, but still that nose-up spin putt.
Yeah, excellent. So, progressing forward, obviously we set the team up at the beginning of the year. Me and Bowen had spoke about having a team for a good few months before sort of asking anybody. And your name was definitely one of the first on the list for as on our wish list anyway. So obviously we asked you to join the team. You happily obliged. How are you finding life being on the team? Because I don't think you've necessarily been in a team before as such. How are you finding it?
Yeah, great. I never really considered joining any teams. I don't know. It wasn't on my mind, really. And then after being in a team, I feel like it's kind of developed more sense of community.
Yeah.
And in a way, kind of like takes pressure off me a little bit. Might sound like paradoxical, but in a way, because it's, you're there with people you know, your friends, and it's a bit of a social event as well. I feel like if you don't perform as well, it's not the end of the world because you're still seeing your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I feel like I almost have like less pressure. Obviously, I still want to play really well. Like that hasn't changed. My motivation is really high, but it's kind of like allowed me to like relax a bit.
Yeah,
It's not completely. If you're going there just to do the tournament, you are solely, not saying you're not focused with the team, but if your sole aim is to win, whereas if you've got the sort of friendliness of it.
Exactly. Me and John, we used to just travel, the two of us, and we would chat to other people, but I don't know. Yeah, playing well would be the main objective.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you go to...
It still is. That's still the main objective, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. While you're playing, it's kind of like you're obviously socializing as well, but it's hard to make like like deep friendships while you're playing.
Yeah.
But with the team, it's more like a ongoing thing that exists outside the tournament environment. So we have those bonds build outside of the tournament, and then you know everyone gets together at the tournament, and I'm trying to say.
I get exactly what you mean, and just say we're really grateful, and it's couldn't have picked a better team really, and everybody on it I'm really pleased with, and we're all sort of fitting pretty well together. So my plan is, obviously, we're going to have sort of like a guest host on for the next few weeks, like we said earlier, to give Josh a bit of time out of podcasting so he can focus on what's really important. So one question I am going to ask everybody on the team, you can pick one disc. Doesn't have to be a one disc round, So you haven't got to think about what the practicality of the disc is, but you can pick one disc that you can... All of a disc get wiped, and there's one disc left. What would it be?
Don't let me down. Choose a collector's disc, Sammy.
I'm going to say...
Four claw buzz.
It is between two discs that are essentially pretty much the same disc. So it's the original P2 / Eagles Rainmaker, which is kind of a new rendition of P2.
Yeah, slightly shallower, isn't it, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, slightly shallower. So I feel like the new P2s are just a tiny bit too deep for me. I really prefer the old ones, and I'm making a lot of people jealous, but I have a massive stack of the old P2s.
But, everyone's asking for them on the UK new and used. Everyone.
Yeah, they are. I'm sitting on a gold mine. But I'll be eventually transitioning to the Rainmakers, just because they'll be more available in the future.
Yeah, now they're becoming more commercially available, and they're not just in the mystery boxes.
Watched Eagles in the back today.
Yeah,
and he has two stock-run Rainmakers in like glow plastic, so they must be near to release.
Yeah, I would have thought so. It does surprise me though, because I would have put quite a bit of money on it being a Innova Destroyer. So that's interesting.
I feel like I do love Destroyers, but I feel like there are lots of discs that can achieve the same thing.
Yeah.
To me, like, P2s just fit my hand perfectly for putting, just perfect. And I haven't come across another putter that feels as good as that.
Yeah.
And I also like throwing them, so it's like multi-purpose.
Fair enough. Excellent.
Okay, yeah, I think that's fair enough, yeah.
So, once again, thanks, Sammy, for coming on. Just to wrap up, we've got probably by now, hopefully, I mean, it's a big, a lot of work to get through and put it onto the website. It's not just a one-click job. It takes quite a bit of time. So I will be working my way from recording this through to put in probably one of our biggest orders yet. Quite a bit of Innova stock onto the website and bags. So head on over to inthechainshop.com. Have a look what we've got on offer. We've got some pretty good stuff on there.
If there's a balls up in the postage, it's my fault, isn't it?
So. Basically, yeah. But we haven't had that yet. We're still on 100% record. So
I think we are, aren't we? Yeah.
So we have got some other stuff that is due fairly soon, but I'm not sure whether it's going to be here and on the website before the show goes out. So we may keep that till next week, but it's quite a lot of stuff going on to the website, certainly this week anyway. So head on over, have a look what's on there. We've got some pretty cool stuff, actually. Even though they're stock discs, we've got some pretty cool stamps, pretty cool swirly stuff. Head on over, have a look. We've got no videos coming out, and that's it, I think. Have you got anything to say, Ben?
Sign up on the 24th, get to Swindon.
For the 24th. Bosch.
For the 24th, get to Swindon, buy a shit ton of discs off us.
How can people sign up?
Contact Matt Wright.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a Google document. Join the Arrow Valley Disc Golf Club on Facebook.
Yeah, I thought that's probably going to be the best way, isn't it? The Arrow Valley Facebook
and
group.
I'm sure it'll be on the British Disc Golf page as well on Facebook.
Yeah, and the other good thing about the Arrow Valley tournaments is they're well run, but equally they're generally pretty well priced.
They're not overly expensive. No, I think it's £20 for these bigger events.
Yeah, and that's
is fair.
And that includes obviously prize money. I mean, last time, I'm not sure. Sort of the ins and outs, but the Lichfield tournament, it was a 40% payout for the field, which is like 40% of the players playing got paid out. And also it obviously includes the two PGA rated rounds. So and it's a good crack as well. So yeah, get signed up to that. Anything else?
No, Sammy, got anything to say? This is your last chance on a public forum to say how you feel, Sammy.
You sound like a person who wears Skechers.
Skechers?
Yeah, do you own any Skechers?
I own a pair of Yeezys, mate. They're the best trainers I've got. I know you'll like Yeezys, won't you, Sammy?
No.
Good man. Good man.
You're so much like my brother. You're so much like my brother. He has Yeezys. He invests in crypto. Some other things that I'm going to leave out, but yeah.
He sounds like a cool guy, Sammy. He sounds like a cool guy.
You would say that.
Thank you very much, Sammy. Appreciate you, Sammy, coming on and spending your time chatting with us. And I'm sure we will see you soon.
My pleasure.
That's it. So we will be back next week with a new guest host. So join us then. And remember, as always, to keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Keep it in the chains.
Yes, he got it.
And hopefully it's not Dennis next week.
Thanks for listening to In the Chains. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And if you like the show, please leave us a review. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel to view our round videos and course flythroughs. And hit subscribe there too. Until next time, keep it in the chains.